Okay, so we've been finishing up the lesson on self-esteem and self-love, and we stopped, and we're going to start on page 23, question 17. And we've been talking about having like a bondage to, you know, something that in your past that is hindering you from growing, hindering you from expressing love, expressing commitment, whatever it is that could be something in your past is holding you from being all that you can be. That's where we have been talking about. And now the question is asking us, how can a person that has that bondage that they're still holding on to be set free? And we know the main way is to have salvation, to ask the Lord. But even in salvation, they still can hold on to something in their past. They may be saved and on their way to heaven, but they haven't let go of what it is that's holding them back. So I was going over these again this morning, and it's like they all tie together, and it's just so fun. So we're in Psalm 51, and we're going to read verses 1, 2, 10, 12, and 13, and they all kind of go together. So it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Now verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Verse 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." There's an acknowledgement of their sin. There's a forgiveness asked. They acknowledge what's been done. They know that they have to, David is asking for cleansing. He knows he's done something wrong, or there's something in his life that needs to be let go of. But the verse 12, I love verse 12, and I know everybody says, you know, "I'm thankful for my salvation." It's not my salvation, it's God's salvation. And I love the fact that he acknowledges that that's where it comes from. He's not asking for anything in his own right. He didn't do anything, and he's the one that's walked away from what him and the Lord had because he sinned. And so he's asking for the joy that he had in that salvation, that he had that closeness that he had with the Lord. He's asking for the Lord to restore it, because in verse 2 and 3 and 4, where he's acknowledging his sin. That's the key to having a close walk with the Lord, is keeping short account. Pastor says that all the time. Keep a short account. Keep a short account. If there's something in your life, ask for forgiveness. Let go of it. Stay close to the Lord. And our joy, all of the things that we need to function on a daily basis. And it sometimes, yes.
I know that there was a time that there was something that Satan used. He just constantly filled my mind with it. And the only way I could get through it was every time it came to mind, I would either sing a song to him or I'd quote a scripture until the thought would go away.
Exactly.
And some days I was quoting all day long. And then one day I found out that it was once a week I had to do it.
Yeah.
And it was once every 2 weeks.
And it's
now
just,
it's like every 6, 8, 10 months, Satan will try again. And I love that verse, the Psalms 121, "I will lift up mine eyes."
Mm-hmm.
And I just go outside, look at the mountains, and quote that verse.
Aren't they? Yes. And
it helps. It brings your mind back.
Exactly.
Where it should be, and also, because Satan uses that. you're ineffective if you're dwelling on all this stuff.
And the dwelling and the staying there with, you know, the woe is me mentality. You know, look, my life is so horrible and blah and this and that and all of the things that. But just like we've been learning, get out of me and look at someone else, and you can look at anybody else and you can say, well, my problem's not as much as her problem, but how can I help her? How can I do for her? How can I give her something? Let me see if I can lift a burden. Let me call her and tell her that I love her smile. Something.
Well, I mean, something else too. This week I was thinking about that verse, you know, restore unto me. Mm. But I was saying, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, which he did, but my salvation is not very good.
And, exactly.
And so you pointing out, I should have said, restore unto me the joy of
And it's like
salvation.
In my Bible, I have that thy salvation.
I have that
circled. It's not my salvation. It's God's salvation. I am thankful for his willingness to give me an opportunity to be saved. It's not anything I've done. It's not my salvation. And it's just, and sometimes we have to be reminded of that because we take it for granted, because especially if you've been saved any length of time, you take the whole fact that we're saved for granted, and instead of focusing back on, wow,
that was... Otherwise, it's God's salvation.
It is God's salvation. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that sacrificed everything, took the sin of the whole world upon him, so that who am I? What do I... I don't have nothing to give him, but my heart and my life and my devotion, but he gave everything for me. And sometimes it's overwhelming when I feel like I don't measure up, or I'm not doing enough, but as we get moved down here, we're gonna learn some little tricks. I was excited. Okay, so let's go to the next section. Or it's 2 Peter 1. We're going to go back to the New Testament in the very back, 2 Peter. I always think this is gone and I'm like missed it somewhere. It's way back here in the back. Yeah, 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. 2 Peter is way in the back after James. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Sharon, will you read that, please?
Okay, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Okay. One more. Go ahead.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Very good. Okay, so the question up there on 17 says, how can a person be set free? Okay, so in verse 2, we get grace and peace, but it comes from the knowledge of God. So we have to know who God is. We have to study his word. We have to spend time praying, being with God's people, you know, making sure that we're in all the services, because each service has its own message. Each service has its own theme, in a sense, its own direction. Because Sunday morning is about salvation. Sunday night is for the body, edifying the body. Wednesday night is focused on prayer and getting closer to the Lord. All of those aspects of church are important. That's why Sunday school is a learning opportunity. Sunday morning is for salvation and restoring that joy that we have and trying to, you know, witness to the lost. Then, you know, Sunday night is uplifting. I love Sunday night service. It's uplifting. It's, we have all the praises and the, and saying the memory verse, and it's just, it's a different atmosphere on Sunday night. And if you aren't coming, you miss, it's like a four-course meal, and you're missing the, you know, one of the options. You're only getting dessert, or you're only getting breakfast. You know, it's, you're not getting a whole day's worth of meals when you miss the services. And so then.
Okay, before you go on.
Yes.
You said, I liked what you said there, because sometimes you have to answer these questions when we're talking.
Yeah.
Sunday school is for learning.
Sunday school is for learning. Church is geared toward evangelization, and it's, most of the messages are geared towards salvation and encouraging our walk with the Lord. Sunday morning is an uplifting, drawing us closer to Him. Sunday night is for edifying. That's uplifting the body, bringing us closer together. And Wednesday night is about prayer and staying close to the Lord. So it's important, all of our services. And pastor has to work at making sure that the messages go along with those aspects of the whole picture of what church is all about. So, and having the right mindset when you come into each one of the services is a benefit as well. I'm going to get a blessing regardless of what, which ask, or if I've heard that type of message. And the people that only come to Sunday morning, they're only getting one aspect of our entire ministry. They're getting one aspect, and that's all they base their whole coming to church on. And you can. It's like seeing a picture on a wall and it's all blacked out except for the middle. It's like, what does this picture show me? I don't know. As I can't see it all. I can't make a determination if I like the picture or not, because I'm only seeing one aspect of it. Okay, so in how can a person be set free in 2 Peter? We have grace. We have peace that God gives our heart. The more we stay close to the Lord, the more we learn, the more He gives to us. It says multiplied to us. So the more we put out, the more God puts in. And so we can learn, we can grow. And it's by increasing our knowledge. There in verse, what was that, in verse 4? Where did I go? Yes, through the knowledge of Him, and He gives us great and precious promises. We're partakers of His divine nature. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have someone to call on. And so that's a blessing to be able to have all of these aspects. And then our main verse for our book is in Galatians. So let's go back to Galatians, right before, after 2 Corinthians, Kathy.
Okay.
Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, tells us to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then we have that, those verses that tell us what all of those are. But verse 22 is the main theme of our book. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So all of these things, love, joy, peace, all of those, we have those when we're saved. The Lord gives those to us. It's just in how we allow them to come out. And a lot of times, we pick and choose. I'm going to have love and maybe joy, but I'm not going to be so long-suffering. And, you know, but I have a little analogy that, or not an analogy, a picture that I'm going to, something I'm going to bring in. It's a visual aid that's going to explain all of this, but it's in the next chapter. That really hits home. It did with me when I first learned it. So, but in there, we can walk in the Spirit. We have God's love. We have God's power. We have His. He's always with us. We've already gone over all of these. But we have to stay close to the Lord. And He's going to help. If it's, He's not going to take it away from us. But we have to give it to Him. Things that we hang on to. Things that we say, I can't get past this. The Lord can take those away. But you have to be willing to let go of them. You have to, it's like, you have to almost visualize it in your head. It's like, okay, Lord, I don't want this aspect in my life anymore. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to carry this around with me anymore. And it's like, okay, I'm going to pack it in this suitcase and I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to let Him have it. I'm going to let Him carry it. Because He can handle it. He has the capability of taking care of all of our burdens. And when we physically and mentally make that picture happen in our minds and say, okay, Lord, and it could be as much as going to the altar and say, okay, Lord, here, this is yours. I can't deal with this anymore. I can't carry this burden anymore. I want you to take, if it's a thought pattern, whatever it is that is hampering you, holding you back, we all have them in one way, form of another. Satan knows what they are and he brings them up to us all the time. And we may have to give it away because sometimes we give it away. And then when we get up and we walk away and we go back to our seat, we kind of bring it back. We kind of give it away and then we take it back. Because it's, I wouldn't say it's a comfort, but it is. It's like, we know He's going to take care of it here, but it hasn't come down here and said, I really know He's going to take care of this. And I can really let go of it and let Him carry it. And I'm not going to touch it anymore. It's not easy to do. It's not. It's easy said, but it's not easy done. Okay, question 18. What's the alternative of this self-love and self-esteem? Okay? What does God want us to do? Well, Matthew 16 tells us. Matthew, at the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16. Yes. Questions or verse 24 and 25, Tanya.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Okay, now God's not asking us to die. That's not what lose his life means.
Oh, it doesn't?
Oh, no. No.
I always thought that.
Oh, no, no. No, God's not asking us to die. How can we serve him if we're dead? We can't. We can't give him anything if we're dead. So, but having salvation gives us a new life. Our old life is dead. That's the one that's losing your, that old one is dead. Our new life, we have to live in Christ. Okay, so how we thought, the things that we did, the places that we went. It says right there in verse 24, let him deny himself. Okay, the world is saying, love yourself. Do for yourself. You can't love others unless you love yourself. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? Well, Christ wants us to deny myself. I need to not think about me. Literally. I need to stop thinking about me and put my focus on somebody else. First, the Lord, and then other people. I need to... What can I do for somebody else? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? And... it's like something I have to tell myself all the time, because there are days when it's like, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do today. And it's like, nope, you can't. You're not. Don't, because you're going to be unfulfilled and it's not going to be a blessing. You're not going to be a blessing or be blessed or anything else. And it's just not going to be good. So stop it.
A high school counselor. That was, I think that's part of one of the things that I found difficult to deal with. Because mm-hmm. as a counselor, you teach self-esteem.
Exactly.
You teach self-confidence.
Yep.
You teach being good to self first. Because if you can be good to self, you can be good to others.
Right.
So it's kind of a... In a lot of ways, I'm glad I'm not in school anymore, because that is not a concept that I could teach at school.
No, you can't.
No, I'd have parents lined up here and beat me.
Yeah, that somebody would be, yeah, you're not doing this right.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Not.
And but that's the world's philosophy. That's what the world says. It's all about self. And clearly so here we go down in verse, let's move to 19, okay? So there's four verses in here, but the Lord says the same thing in each of them. I found this morning. It's like, yay. Okay, so, Sharon, go to Mark 8.
How do we get to Mark?
We're in question 19 now, okay? So we know we got to deny ourselves, okay? So that's the answer in question 18 is to deny ourselves, okay? And the closer we get to the Lord, the more we gain. All right? So I want us to see these verses. So we've got Mark. We're in question 19 in your book, Kathy. Look at
19 in your book?
Yes. See question 19 right there? On the same page, 19. Okay, we're in Mark chapter 8. But Sharon's going to read that one. Carlene, go to Luke chapter 9. And Tanya, John 12, 25. Gloria, go to Matthew 16, 25. Okay, so let me get to the first one, Mark. Now just kind of listen. You all don't have to go flipping back to every verse, but... Because everybody would be confused. You won't know what we're doing. Just listen to how these verses are the same. So go ahead with the first one, Sharon, Mark 8.
And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed and he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Okay. All right, now Luke, read Luke 9.
Hold on, Luke 9, 23, 25.
Yep.
And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?
Okay. And then John 12:25.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
Okay, and then Matthew 16.
For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Okay, now, Gloria, can you do me a favor? Can you read it out of Tanya's, the King James? Because it says the same thing as the other verses. Matthew 16.
For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Very good. Okay, so in every single one of these verses, what did he say? Deny yourself, lose your life, and in me you shall find it. And if Christ repeated, and it's probably in more places, but in the Gospels, in four separate verses, he says the same thing. It must be very, very important. If the Lord's gonna emphasize that in four different instances, in four different situations, this must be very important. And it goes to show us that, and it's like, you read these verses and it's like, oh, that kind of sounds familiar, but that's what it is. He's just re-emphasizing the same thing to us, that we need to deny ourselves. And, you know, the Lord's not saying that you go on this bout of, this make a vow of poverty or something. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying you can't have anything and you're not supposed to do anything for yourself. That denying, I actually want to look up deny. I'm going to look it up in the concordance here and we're going to see what deny actually means. Okay, so deny in, let's look at Matthew. Matthew, what were we in? Matthew 16. So in the concordance, Matthew 16 is, okay, so in the, okay, we got several where deny is in the Bible, and one of the options is 533, and literally that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times it's used for this meaning in 533, so we're going to go back over here and we're going to see what 533 tells us. 5. I can't turn the pages. All right, let go. All right, 533 is right up here. Okay, so it's. It's amets is what the name is. Amets. It's strong or strength, courage. That's really strange. That's what it's saying. Deny. So it's like to have courage in your.
I was just gonna say, it takes courage to deny yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Hang on here. Yeah,
it takes courage to deny.
Yeah, because we want to do exactly what we want to do, I tell you.
And it goes against everything the world tells you to do.
Exactly. Yeah, because it says, come after me, let him deny himself, 533. Come after me, let him deny himself, 533. Come after me, let him deny himself, 533. So, but if I go back here in the... Hang on, I was in the wrong... I was not in the Greek. My mistake. Hold on. We got a different deny here. Okay, so 533 in the right section is. Okay. So it's to deny, utterly disown, abstain. So basically we're just what the word in a sense says.
Sustain?
Abstain.
So abstain.
Abstain means to, I'm going to put that aside. I'm not going to do that. So we have to have the mindset of not allowing ourselves to continually think about ourselves. Not to say, I'm not going to eat, or I'm not going to do this, you know, that kind of, but in a selfish, self-centered way, and not looking on the ways of others, that's how I have to deny myself. I have to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Not what I want to do. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. That's how we need to ask daily.
Still takes us to go back to courage.
Exactly. And then, yeah, it even goes back to that one in the Old Testament. Like, yeah, exactly. So, and I'm going to look up the word lose just to see what lose means here in losing our life. Because Kathy asked that question. So let's make sure that we're not supposed to die. I don't think so, but we're... I'm almost positive that's not what it means, because we can't very well he's
full of ourselves.
Who shall live his life shall lose it is 622 in the Greek. So 622 in the Greek. To destroy fully, to die, to lose, to perish, to mar, but it's our old self. That's the one that has to die. And because we're human and we're finite little beings and we only think in this realm down here, we can't think heavenly thoughts, we can't think like Christ does. We only think in what we see. You know, some of these concepts that the Lord puts in his word, we have to have faith and trust and to walk in these, but we know that he's going to be here with us, and he wouldn't ask us to do something that he doesn't equip us and give us the resources to be able to get through. So our old life, the way we thought, the way we did things, just like when you were a counselor, the things you were taught to do, that's your old life. At the time of salvation, you get a new life. Okay? So then my old life has to die. My old life has to be denied. My old life has to be put aside. We have to let it perish. We have to let go of it and embrace the new that God has given us. The new, but we can't do it all at the same time. Because different situations bring different things up in our lives. We all have different experiences. We all have different things that happen to us. So as we see something and we see from God's word, And that's why it's important that we're in God's Word, because He will show us in our thinking about a certain situation, what does God say about this? What does God, just like here when at the beginning of this chapter it said, look up self-esteem. Well, we've heard that our whole life, so we're supposed to have, you know, have good self-esteem. You know, you make you a better rounded person, have good self-esteem. God doesn't say anything about it. Not one single word about self-esteem is in this Bible. Then it must not be important. If God didn't say anything about it, He didn't give us an alternative for it. What God says, we're to deny ourselves. We're to love others. That goes totally against self-esteem. But he mentions it a whole lot. Thank you. So basically, and if you look at question 20, what does this statement say to you? I must treat myself with all my sinful practices like a criminal. Go.
You have to lock yourself away, put it away. Like a criminal goes under lock and key. We put our sinfulness and our sinful practice under lock and key, and Christ is going to be the lock that's going to hold it.
There we go. Anybody else? Anybody else? You have any different thoughts?
Kind of the same thing, though. Since we're born in sin, we have to always remember that we are sinful. We're sinful creatures by nature. So we always, we're always looking to God's Word to find out. You know, you got to look, it's sort of like you got this little punishment for your sins, so you got to go look in God's Word to find out, what should I do to be that, to be in God's Word and to do it the way
to be that different person.
To be that different person.
Exactly.
Because it's easy to say.
Uh-huh.
All of this is easy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the new one, all right?
That's right.
All of this is easy. And for everything that you can tell me about this Bible, I have that devil's advocate.
Uh-huh. I got to go see.
That works inside of me that says, why? Who says? Who is this? Why should I believe what this says as opposed to what I already know?
Right.
So this was the most difficult thing that I had to go through reading this
right.
thing.
But it's the denying. It's like I've lived my whole life. My whole life thinking one way. Unless you were saved as a child, then you only had thinking up to a certain aspect. But if you got saved in as an adult, or even later as an adult, you got a lot of stuff in there that has to go away. And we have to get rid of it. Tanya, you want to say something?
I was going to say, well, it was kind of like learning the alphabet and growing up and finding out.
You did it wrong?
You did it completely wrong. It's kind of like... Well,
well, I had put, if I don't want to be a criminal, then I have to get rid of that sin in my life, because in myself, by myself, I could be a criminal. We have that. I could be a criminal. I don't want to be a criminal.
We can take it one step further, though. A criminal has to be pardoned.
Yeah.
And I am a criminal. But I have been pardoned.
Exactly. And we have had our pardon. We have our sins are like as far as the east is from the west, according to the Lord. I have a pardon. I have a reprieve from my punishment. My punishment is in hell. I don't have to go there. Because God paid my... He's doing my time, in a sense. I don't have to. God took that away from me. And I don't have to be a criminal to my sin. I don't have to be in bondage to my sin anymore. All right, ladies, we have to stop. Thank you so much.